hour number two of the Bible study. I'm Chuck Rathert. It's the Ask the Pastor Hour. Some of you may not stay with us very long here. Some of you may call to change the subject because you feel uncomfortable with the subject. If you have small children, you might want to get them busy doing something else. Now, we're not going to go crazy here. I mean, don't worry about that. But we do have to ask the pastor a question today that's sensitive as it pertains to human sexuality and sexual morality or immorality. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our guest is Pastor Ryan Willis. He is pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Farron, Illinois, which is not too far from Carlisle. And a new father as of October, now four children in the Willis family. How's the newborn doing?
She's doing wonderful, gaining weight, healthy. Actually, she's 2 months and a week now, or 10 days now. And about 2 weeks ago, she started smiling on cue. Like, you can get in her face and start smiling, kind of going, woo, and she smiles.
I thought you were going to tell me that she recited the first commandment or something.
But we're working on that. Actually, she's through the sixth.
How's
by
Mrs.
now.
How's Mrs. Willis?
She's fine. Gretchen is doing wonderful. She actually, the delivery was amazing. Doctor came in. He said, push, and we counted to 10. He said, cough 6 times. She coughed 6 times.
Boom.
He said, push, count to 10. And there was the baby. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't 30 seconds.
Different than the first one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like moms get better at this as the more they do this.
Yes, she
somehow.
Is well versed in it. And I told her, if the Lord blesses us another child, her and I are just going to take care of it at home.
Really?
I've been through it enough. I know what to do.
You're going to roll up your sleeves and
<That's right. laughs>
pass out, right? All right. Here's what I want to talk to you about here today. And you were telling me before we went on the air that the folks in your congregation, some of them get a little nervous if pastor starts talking about Sixth Commandment issues.
Sure.
Adultery.
Sexuality.
And human sexuality, makes some folks nervous. I understand that. There are some folks who have a responsible level of sexual propriety.
Sure.
Well, I wish... Well, there was more of that in some ways. Maybe we wouldn't have the trouble we're having, but we are having some trouble. The December 13th Section D, Life section of USA Today, under the heading Health and Behavior, this headline, study, : Young Adults Now Find Porn More Acceptable, subtitled Availability Online may Be a Factor, Duh. Okay, this is written by Kathleen Fackelman of the USA Today staff. And I want to talk to you about this today because you do have four young children. All four of your children are going to grow up in the internet era, which is even different than it was just a year ago. Mm-hmm. The things now, people photographing things with their cell phones and uploading those to the internet. Who knows? How old is your oldest?
8.
8 years old. Right on the edge of really... understanding the computer and where that thing can take you. Are you alarmed as a father? Because unless, Pastor, you're going to sit there over their shoulder every waking minute, they're going to be exposed potentially to this vile stuff. Are you alarmed?
I am not as alarmed as much as terrified and extremely offended. And certainly as a Christian, there's my principles on this are a factor. But just as a father, I am extremely offended by the the fact that on the internet, you can do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. In public, you can do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. We can videotape teenagers down at spring break doing all kinds of stuff and then have commercials on TV as long as they're after 9 o'clock.
So you're worried about that freedom?
I'm not worried. I'm terrified of the fact that that freedom is extended to them. But
see, I
they
worry
won't air commercials on television
well, see,
that focus
say,
on Christmas.
I worry about if the government gets involved, then your daughters are going to have condoms and they won't be able to allow to bring their Bible into the public school.
Well,
that's what happens when the government gets involved and starts making rules.
That's what happens when the government does not follow the Constitution. Now, I mean, there's a decency issue in our country where it's indecent to talk about Christ, talk about Jesus, to share your faith. But it's not indecent to be on the radio and, I don't know, and be able to say just about anything you want or make whatever kind of noise you want or imitate whatever you want. Or on the internet, for you were just saying earlier about this case about an 11-year-old girl taking pictures or someone taking pictures of her naked and sent them to her boyfriend. I mean, is that freedom of expression? I mean, as a parent, I'm not alarmed by that. I'm terrified by that. And I got my oldest child, 8, is a girl. And I've tried, my wife and I have tried very much to raise her to be a lady, to respect herself. We got rid of satellite television. We had satellite TV because we live out in the sticks, and we've got an antenna now, and we can get, I think we get about 6 stations. But you could have the satellite television on and a TV that my wife and I have determined, a show that my wife and I have determined our kids can watch. And that's fine, but then a commercial comes on that's Victoria's Secret, you know, or, you know, and I'm sitting there watching football, and I have no problem my kids, my boys watching football with me. Sarah watches football with me sometimes. And I have no problem with it. It's the commercials that come on. And you get a rating for a television show.
You don't
want
to have to explain Viagra to your young sons yet?
I shouldn't have to. I mean, the commercials are ridiculous. And it's all every commercial break. It's, what is it, Levitra? What's the other one?
I don't know.
Viagra, Cialis.
Yeah.
You know, those, or it's a genital herpes. I've got genital herpes is the commercial, you know. It's ingrained in your head. It's like, well, now I got to explain to my 8-year-old girl what genital herpes is. It gave me an opportunity to say it's the consequences of stepping outside of God's boundaries, not keeping the marriage bed pure.
What do you say to a person who says, look, we know all that. We just don't want to hear about it on Ask the Pastor on the Bible study. Please. Can't you guys talk some more about Genesis today instead of talking about some porn article in USA Today? I don't know. Maybe you agree with them.
Well, let's talk about Genesis then. Let's go to Genesis 3, where at one point when we weren't sinful and did not have lustful eyes, we walked around, Adam and Eve walked around naked, and they were not ashamed. I mean, the Bible starts with nudity. The Bible starts, Adam and Eve walk around naked in the garden. They weren't ashamed. They didn't blush. They didn't look at each other and think, hubba hubba.
Lustfully.
Know, he looked at her as, this is amazing, beautiful, awesome. You know, I can almost picture Adam looking at God and saying, yeah, you do really good work. And it's not like, ha ha ha, you did a good job.
Yeah.
It's, man, she is awesome. A work of art. And the same way, you know, Eve looked at her husband. But then, after the fall into sinfulness, they looked at one another and realized they were naked. And what do? They covered themselves up. From there on out, there's this standard of decency and indecency. And the first sinners in the world is the ones who stand, who recognize it and do something about it. They grab leaves and cover up. They say, wait a second. We can't run around naked. It's not proper. Because the way they started looking at one another, through lust, not loving eyes, but lustful eyes. So, to answer your question, we just talked about Genesis, so anyone who had that objection, the scriptures deal with this issue. You know, when you see a lot of the problems throughout the Old Testament, and a lot of the ones dealt like in 1 Corinthians, have to do with sexual immorality. You know, David is on the roof of the palace, and he's looking, and what does he see? He sees a naked woman, apparently a beautiful naked woman, taking a bath. And it gets all kinds of thoughts moving in his head. And then he invites her up. And then she gets pregnant. And then there's all kinds of consequences, all kinds of problems. In fact, consequences for the rest of David's family line. Of things falling apart because he stepped outside of the boundaries of God. So biblically, this is an issue that is addressed. And if it isn't addressed on Ask the Pastor, if it isn't addressed sometime from the pulpit, if it isn't addressed sometime in confirmation class, when is the church and when is your pastor ever going to address it? And for me, I would much rather have my pastor talk to my children about this issue of sexuality.
It seems to me that the relaxation of standards of decency, and I like that word, that's a good word here, standards of decency, is directly responsible for just a whole host of mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there are stories every week of women who, for whatever reason, feel compelled to bring a man into their home. They're not married. He won't marry her, or she won't marry him, or whatever. But he's a scoundrel, and after a while, he beats up her children. Sexually abuses the child, or kills them.
Mm-hmm.
And it may have seemed like an innocent thing. It's not indecent to live together. Everybody does it. And pretty soon you have an injured child that comes out of it. And the Bible cries out, don't be doing that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the church, seems to be largely silent on this. And whenever you say that, well, somebody in some church body or institution somewhere says, oh, it's not true. We have a paper on that we issued in August of 19, you know.
Sure.
But that's not what I'm talking about. You know, putting out a paper and then the people of God standing up and saying, this is wrong, and we're not going to stand for it. People of God are largely silent, I think.
So is there a question? Yeah. Yeah, they are.
I guess there wasn't a question in that.
I agree with you.
I guess the question is, how does Pastor Willis properly inform his people, particularly if some of them are a little skittish about it and would just rather the pastor not talk about it? How does Pastor properly inform his people? How does Pastor properly motivate his people so that when they leave Bible class or they leave worship, that they're willing to defend standards of decency in their families, in their communities?
I don't know. I've got seven years under my belt right
while
now.
While you and I sit here and try to figure it out because we don't know, this stuff in USA Today
sure.
marches on.
Well, here's the issue that I have struggled with and in facing is, as a pastor, to proclaim the whole counsel of God. And we are sexual beings. I mean, one of the most important responsibilities God gave to Adam and Eve, and then he's going to give to Noah and his family again, is to be fruitful and multiply. Now, he makes a structure for that to happen. He's, you know, the man and the woman, they shall be united together as one flesh. They shall be married. They shall join together to be committed to one another. Forsaking all others.
Boy, you are old-fashioned.
And sometimes old-fashioned, well, let's say the pastor before me said historical. I'm historical. I'm not old-fashioned. There's nothing wrong with old-fashioned. A lot of old-fashioned things have worked for us, whether good or bad, for a long time. Once we kind of wrinkle our nose, well, that's just old-fashioned. Well, we want to be new, we want to be hip, and we want to be in the article of teenagers who are adopting this new, you know, basically, was it 1960 when the first decency stuff started getting smeared and they came out with some pornography movies? Obviously, pictures and stuff were there prior to that, but they really stepped began stepping further and further and further into it. So what do we have, about 50 years of adults kind of laughing and Christians kind of, some people stepping up and saying something, other Christians just kind of saying, well, it's none of my business. The pornography industry getting bigger and bigger and bigger. In fact, I saw a commercial on TV where this was just the claim that the pornography industry right now is larger, makes more money than the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball combined. Now, I don't know if that's true. Truth in advertising doesn't seem to be much of an issue anymore either. But, and I haven't checked, I haven't Googled to see how much money comes into the pornography industry. But it is a huge, huge moneymaker. Besides that, it's a huge, huge industry. Now, how do we deal with it as Christians? Here would be the first thing I'd say as a Christian is don't participate in it. One of the Professor Brighton pointed out that the Roman government had abortion. They back in Jesus' time and during that time period, and they would have places that were open where you could go and you could have an abortion. Well, as more and more Christians, more and more people came to be Christians through the ministry of the apostles and following, more and more of them said, we don't do that. So they stopped going to those places. And this Christian population got so huge in the Roman Empire that it wasn't financially viable to keep these places open because Christians weren't coming to them. It impacted the business so much. But for us, and I mean, it says in that article there that young men as well as young women are more tolerant of pornography and actually, you know, probably watch it, if not make their own amateur movies. But for Christians to say, wait a second, that's not how I am. That's not my lifestyle. For their faith to express itself that way and say, you know, I'm not going to go to the strip club with all the buddies who are going on the bachelor party. I know it's socially acceptable. You know, we've got to make exceptions. It's only, guy only gets married once a year. Well, yeah, but you're a Christian every day of the year and every year of your life. And you step across that line once, you give the devil a foothold. And guys know this, may have never articulated it this way, but there are things that you see that you can never unsee. They will be in your mind forever, and usually those things are sinful things that the devil wants to draw up to tempt you.
Let me read a little bit from this article. It says, college students, including young women, are far more accepting of pornography than their parents, a shift that might be related to easy access to porn on the Internet, a study reports today. Most young women in the study said they personally did not use porn, but nearly half said viewing X-rated material was an acceptable way to express sexuality. Only 37% of the fathers and 20% of the mothers surveyed agreed. Let's focus for a moment not on the fact that the fathers and mothers are less than the daughters, but that the fathers are almost twice as receptive, 37%, as the mothers, 20%. What does that tell you?
Well, I mean, I'm not a psychologist, and I mean, most psychologists still hold on to a lot of Freud stuff, so I don't think they have this figured out either. But, I mean, just being a man, I can say visually, here's when people are going to start calling in or going to turn us off.
Choose your words carefully, Pastor.
Men are visually stimulated. So men, when they see images or a woman in a bikini or that, they're visually stimulated. That's why Victoria's Secret ads are geared towards what men like. So you see these women, you know, do you really think that, you know, a mother of four, wait a second, I better stop.
Mrs. Willis, you might want to turn the radio off now.
Is a mother of four who has the vocation of being a mother. She's been blessed with four children. She's a beautiful woman, and I have one in particular in mind. And is she going to tune into the annual Victoria's Secret? I hope that's not her on the phone. the annual Victoria's Secret show, whatever it's called. And does she want to actually watch these, you know, 5'8" women as skinny as a rail, enhanced, however medically they are, strut down the
What's
stage?
The answer? What do you think? Does she?
If there's any moms out there, please call in and let us know. Are you the ones tuning into that, or is it husbands tuning into it? You walk the room and you say, well, I can't believe you're even watching that. And he laughs and he's kind of grabbing for the remote saying, oh, I was watching football and I was just flipping through the channels.
Well, you see, here we have two complete ignoramuses. Well, I'll speak for myself, a complete ignoramus talking about areas where we have no expertise. But I think the answer is not in a normal situation, but in a situation where husbands dump their wives with, you know, fairly regular frequency and don't anymore, as much as perhaps used to be true, feel a lifelong commitment. Maybe this woman feels like she's put in a position where she's got to work this deal, since she doesn't have the lifelong commitment or the promise, or the promise doesn't mean what it used to mean. Maybe she needs to manipulate the deal. So maybe she will watch it because she sees an opportunity to find an instrument of manipulation.
So she's... Okay, well, let's see what Sandy has to say.
All right, let's talk with Sandy. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Sandy. It's the Bible study.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, and thank you for dealing with this sensitive topic. I think it needs to be expressed in a church and Christian setting, godly and biblical setting. My concern is the acceptance of more perversion and deviant practices that are so unhealthy, so shattering to the psychology of people who engage in this, and the very fact that, you know, the lifestyles that surround these practices that are identified with these practices. And another concern, of course, is the pornography. And this was some time ago. I'm quoting someone I had listened to several years ago. It might have been Phyllis Schlafly or someone from her organization. And they were talking about the rise of porn and acceptance. And they were trying to express the fact to women that it objectifies women. And women, when a woman is objectified, she can be forcibly taken if she's a mere object. And when she is forcibly taken, that is an act of rape. And if you could get this leap of logic from point to point to point into young women's perspective, it may help them. Thank you.
Sandy, hold on just a second. Do you have any children, Sandy?
Yes, I have two grown girls and four beautiful grandchildren.
How old are your grandchildren?
10, 8, 18 months, and 6 months.
We've got your grandchildren about the same age as my children. And, Sandy, may the Lord bless your grandchildren and keep them safe from this whole mess.
We'll be right back.
I agree. We have to be vigilant with the Word of God.
The birth of John the Baptist is both miraculous and long foretold. Live Thursday on Issues, Etc., we'll talk with Deaconess Pam Nielsen about the birth of the forerunner of Christ. We'll also talk about 4th century martyr Lucia with Pastor Will Whedon, and we'll visit with St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist Colleen Carroll Campbell.
Weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 850 KFUO. During this month of December, Peace Lutheran Church in South County again conducted its annual German Christmas service. AM 850 KFUO recorded the service, and we will air that recording on Saturday, December 15th at 4 p.m. It's an annual tradition both at Peace Lutheran Church and on AM 850 KFUO. German Christmas worship this Saturday afternoon at 4 on AM 850 KFUO, inspirational Christmas radio for St. Louis. Fröhliche Weihnachten.
How is the structure of DNA related to music? The answer next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
The entire creation is woven together on an invisible cloth of mathematics. Since mathematics is also the basis for music, the creation is often more filled with music than we think. In fact, Christians ought to think twice before dismissing as figurative those Bible passages about the whole creation praising its creator. Sometimes the music of the creation in praise of God is more clearly seen. As one California geneticist was studying the structure of DNA, it struck him that the pattern of the bases out of which DNA is built followed a pattern similar to a melody. So he assigned notes to each of the four bases. Cytosine for do, adenine for re and mi, guanine for fa and sol, thymine for la and ti, and cytosine again for do. Upon playing different gene structures according to this orchestration, the geneticist found that rather than endless repetition of wandering melodies, each gene had its own musical style and interesting melody. One collagen gene sounds like Bach. Genes which code for cell adhesion molecules sound like Debussy. And a mouse gene for RNA sounds very much like Chopin. As our knowledge of the creation grows, so does the witness to God's power and wisdom. Truly, the whole creation, in its every part, sings the praises of its creator. Let us join that praise with our voices.
For more information, visit us online at creationmoments.com. You'll find both written and audio transcripts, creation-focused articles and Bible studies, and many other resources, all at creationmoments.com.
If you receive an envelope in the mail adorned with gorgeous Christmas ornaments, you'll know it's from AM 850 KFUO. It's our end-of-the-year support request, and it's your opportunity to send a gift to AM 850 KFUO in time to take a deduction for 2007. Look for the letter with the ornaments, and then consider making a gift to AM 850 KFUO before the end of the year.
This Christmas, when you look into the manger, I pray you will see more than a beautiful baby lying there. I pray you may see him for who he is and worship him for what he has done for you. See him and know that while things seldom turn out the way we dream because of Jesus, they can always turn out the way God wants.
Pastor Ken Klaus, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m.
I want to say thank you to Sandy for expressing her appreciation for our willingness to tackle this subject. This subject is being tackled everywhere else and from a different perspective. The advancement of sexual immorality almost seems to be job one in the American culture. And the one thing that it seems that you cannot do is oppose the lowering of standards of decency. That is oppressive, that's puritanical, it's restrictive, doesn't allow your children the full understanding of their own personal expression and exploration, blah, blah, blah. And in the wake of the relaxation of decency standards, there is damage as far as the eye can see to human relationships, to marriages, to families, to churches, to communities. Young people are being murdered for reasons of sexual immorality. And here we sit, Pastor Ryan Willis and I, trying to shed a little bit of light on this issue before it destroys us all. And I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that.
Well, and, you know, the funny thing, I come in and I always walk in the door and I say, okay, Chuck, what's the question? Because you won't tell me before I get here. You've made that very clear to me. And you said, you know, you held up the article and said, you know, sexuality. And I went, oh, great. Because we just kind of address this at my congregation as being a sensitive issue. And as we talk about this for the past, 30 minutes now, and you just talked about how we're bombarded from it's being addressed on every other avenue, You know, one thing that I've noticed, at least my own emotions throughout the past 30 minutes, is I'm very uneasy about this. I have that embarrassed feeling, like my ears are kind of burning and my face is kind of tight.
Reaching for fig leaves, are you?
That's right, trying to cover up. But just still blushing. And I find myself wondering, those who write the commercials for Viagra, Viva Viagra, or those who write the genital herpes commercial, those who act them out, do they ever blush? Are they ever embarrassed by this? I mean, it seems to me, even when you look throughout the history of the scriptures, whether it's the pagans of the Old Testament, Gentiles in the New Testament, outside of faith, outside of God's people, they didn't blush. They reveled in it. They celebrated it. It was part of their worship, was sexual immorality and participating in those things. But now, you know, throughout, from Adam and Eve, throughout, it's supposed, you know, God's people are supposed to be the ones who have blushed by this. And sometimes the prophets are appalled and they speak for the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, you are a nation who has forgotten how to blush. And in church, when we get uncomfortable with it, start pulling on our collar because the pastor might be dealing with it, that's great. But we still have to address it. It still has to be dealt with. Because I'm telling you, your kids, my kids, and I'm terrified about this, are being bombarded by this.
You're being destroyed.
Everywhere. Yeah.
You're being destroyed.
We take this call from Bill, but we come back and share some experience I had in prison ministry regarding this issue.
505-780-1800-730-2727. It's the Ask the Pastor Hour. Our guest is Pastor Ryan Willis, Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Farron, Illinois. Hi, Bill. You're on the Bible study.
Yes. I'd like to make the comment that on TV, that it seems like they'll have, for instance, they'll have a program to fight AIDS or something up there, and then they'll have entertainment. And quite often, the people that are entertaining are up there scantily clad with hardly anything on and dance around. And then also the fact that it seems like a lot of the movies, some of your best well-known stars and actresses will play parts where there's nudity and everything. And then later on, somebody will come almost glorify them, saying, oh, they're a great mother or this or that, and you know that they're good and active.
A little inconsistent
affairs.
There, you think, Bill?
Pardon me?
Yeah, a little bit inconsistent, you think there?
I believe it's a little hypocritical, and I don't think it gives a good message to young people and especially, you know, anybody for that matter. I think it's a farce. It's like saying that Christians are really nice people and that, and yet they go out and kill somebody and they say, well, that's all right because we did it for this or that reason. I'll hang up and listen to what you
all
have
right.
to say.
Thanks for the
Thank
call.
You.
Bill, I think you make a good point about movies and stuff. And another observation about that is, are there any TV shows on right now that you can think of? And I don't watch much TV, but every TV show I can think of, somebody's sleeping with somebody else, or everybody's sleeping with that person.
How about that big hit show, Desperate Housewives?
Or Sex and the City, or ER, or House, or Friends. Is that still even on?
That's in reruns. Will
okay.
be forever.
Seinfeld, Ward and Mrs. Cleaver. Did they even sleep in the same room together?
I don't think we even treated to
or
that.
Or Harriet
knowledge.
And Maude. You know, there's been such a shift from, and we don't even notice it. I mean, parents, think about it. The TV shows that you have on when the kids are running around the house at night, like you got to tune in to ER or whatever it is. You see the images that are going on there, and we don't even notice it. We don't even think about it anymore. But I can't think of a single TV. In fact, you even have these kids shows. What's the high school dance,
High School Musical.
Well, the whole scandal about one of these actresses who's 16, 17, however she is, and I don't know whatever became of this, but it was all over the newspaper that she's sending pictures of herself, questionable pictures of herself, to her boyfriend. Now you got an 11-year-old girl doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got girls all over the place doing it. Well, that is terrible for our kids. It is horrible.
I can't remember. I think it's in New York. I'm not sure. I think it's in New York, and I don't know if I have all the facts exactly right here, but there was this is the way this plays out. There were some photographs, inappropriate photographs taken of girls age 11 to 14, which were distributed in the little group there, the peer group, and eventually worked their way to a 17-year-old boy and put him on the internet. Now he faces felony charges for publishing inappropriate photographs of underage girls. Now, when that law was crafted and people understood that pornography existed and they didn't want people using underage girls in order to produce pornography, that's how that law was written. This 17-year-old boy, while he has done a very wrong thing, is the victim of a new era where these mistakes are being made simply because publishing or disseminating is now easy for everyone. I'm not excusing him. What he did was wrong. But he's in a mess. He's up to his eyeballs in alligators now, and he's 17 years old. And as police got involved with these, I think there's like a dozen girls, as police got involved, the one thing that they noted was the 24 parents involved, a distinct minority, are outraged by this. The rest of them are somewhere between, I don't know what the big deal is, to let's just keep it quiet and it'll go away. And that, Pastor, is the core, the essence of the problem, as I see it.
I think the only thing new in there is not shocked by it. The concept of let's just keep it quiet and maybe it'll go away, that's been around for centuries.
Forever.
Sexual abuse within the church just finally came to the forefront 10 years ago. You know, the jokes had been around for a long, long time. And there's usually some hint of truth behind jokes. So you can't tell me that it's just been the past 40 years that that stuff's been going on. But for too long, people kind of, well, let's just ignore it and it'll go away. And look where we are. It has not gone away. It's just gotten worse.
And you know what? Here's what we know. It's never going away. That's the guarantee in the equation. This is going to be with us from the Garden of Eden forward.
Mm-hmm.
What does go away is the opposing force or the restraining force or the people of God who say, we're not going to have this in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the pastors? Where are the leaders who say, we don't want this porn store on the outskirts of our city. We want to protect our daughters and our sons. Where's that voice? That's the voice that goes away. That's what troubles me. Let's take this telephone call from Miss Harris. Hi, you're on the Bible study. Good morning.
Hi. I'm thinking more about values. I saw the Victoria's Secret, program. I'm thinking more about values because I'm looking at it like this. If you value education, and you go and you get your law degree, and there's a lawyers association. If you do things unethical, they will snatch that law license from you. Sex, my daddy told me a long time ago, he said that sex, it takes about 3 minutes to have sex. And you need to value that, simply because it don't take, 10 years, like it does go to law school. It's still a very valuable asset, that you have. And with the sex comes the rights. With the right of having sex, there's also responsibilities. And we are not taking the responsibility.
All right, we'll talk about it. And here's the responsibility. Have all the fun you can have. That's your only responsibility.
And actually, the responsibility was have all the kids you can have. From the beginning, the interest, be fruitful and multiply. I mean, that was a responsibility.
You are old-fashioned.
But listen, the advantage of this, one man and one woman be united together as one flesh. Now, how do sexually transmitted diseases get transmitted? Sexually. Now, if we were to stay within, keep the marriage bed pure, not to adulterate it, not to make it filthy. If a man and a woman stayed together, and let's just say, 10 years after they get married at the age of 21, the man dies in an accident, and the woman remarries to a man who may have been married before, and he's a widower. And then the two of them join together. It's till death do us part. Instead of by the time a girl is 18, she's had 20 men. She's had sex with 20 men. Now, those guys have had sex with 20 others, and you get this mess of things that are not supposed to be going on, and the consequences of them are AIDS, gonorrhea, chlamydia, herpes, etc., etc., etc. I mean, I don't get herpes by sharing a baseball bat with a guy on the softball team. You get herpes from stepping across the line of sexuality and doing what you're not supposed to do.
And you didn't mention abortion.
And abortion has become our way to deal with our irresponsibility. It is for the past 40 years now, almost 35 years, just another form of birth control. Birth control. Conception control and birth control are two different things.
Yeah. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, James. You're on the Bible study.
Good morning, Brother Chuck.
Good morning, sir.
I guess you're going to help me articulate this artfully about arts and education. The body world exhibit is something like that off limits. How do we get this into the discussion? The Statue of David, other literature and Baroque type of art that would influence the education and artistic aesthetics of a person. How do we introduce this into the conversation? And Pastor, could you take a look at Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, and talk about that in its graceful artistic description?
All right, thanks.
And help me, Brother Chuck.
Well, you, James, you are you need a doctorate in troublemaking.
Bye bye.
Troublemakingology. All right, thank you, James. Can you find that passage?
Yeah, give me just a second.
I got a feeling I know. I don't know what that says, but I got a feeling I know where it's going. But James raises an excellent point.
Oh, let's see. What was it? Chapter 7?
Verses 6 through 9. Do you dare read it on the radio?
Let me read it first. No, here, I'll read it. It's the scriptures. Okay. Good Lord printed it, I'll read it. How beautiful you are and how pleasing, O love, with your delights. Your stature is like that of a palm, and your breasts like clusters of fruit. I said, I will climb the palm tree and will take hold of its fruit. May your breasts be like the clusters of the vine, the fragrance of your breath like apples.
Okay, I'm blushing now.
So am I. And your mouth like the best of wine. I'm not sure what his question was about that, but just the context.
Well, his question is just a naked human being is not pornography. A naked human being in a certain setting may be a lovely thing. And I think he's sending us to Solomon here and pointing it out. There it is right there in the scriptures, for heaven's sake. So it is not intrinsically evil. There can be beauty. There can be ugly. It depends on the circumstances and the setting, I guess.
Well, and, okay, as you deal with that issue, let me suggest this. The human body is created by God. It's perfect, beautiful, awesome, amazing. There's art in God's creation.
And all you got to do is go down to the Science Center, as he pointed out, in the human body exhibit down there, and see how magnificent and wonderful and awesome.
And that is what God gave to Adam. And Adam goes, wow, you do great work, and she is perfect. And that doesn't change. God's work doesn't change in the purity and the perfection of it. It's the sinful hearts of man and the thoughts and lusts of a woman's mind that change the perspective on it. So, I mean, I would suggest that even within a marriage relationship, lust is wrong. And it can be pornographic. If you look at your wife in a way where you say, how can you satisfy me? I would like for you to be enhanced surgically, because that would make me more happy. That would make you look better. That would make you more attractive, more sexy to me. Then you are getting into pornography. And if I'm not mistaken, in Greek, pornea is... filthy. Like, I can't... off the top of my head now, it just slipped me. If anyone knows Greek, call in and tell what pornea means. But that's the word used in, like, 1 Corinthians when he says, flee from sexual pornia, immorality. But here in Song of Songs, you know, the writer is writing to his lover, and for me to be able to talk as a Christian, as a saintly man to my wife, that way I'm not going to write it down on paper. I'm not going to do it on the air. But to talk to my wife that in a sanctified way is fine, but we're always still sinner. So we have to be careful of that and recognize that we can look at our wives lustfully and sinfully.
The New Testament Greek lexicon,
okay, good,
available via Google, defines porneia as illicit sexual intercourse, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, sexual intercourse with close relatives, Leviticus 18, et cetera, and also as a metaphor for the worship of idols. The defilement of idolatry is incurred by eating the sacrifices offered to idols. Okay?
Sure.
That's
a very extensive list.
It's a noun feminine, by the way.
It's a very extensive list.
I'm sure you know what that means. All right, let's take this call from Linda. Hi, you're on the Bible study.
I couldn't help but call again. Sorry to call twice.
That's okay.
I don't know. You were talking about these places that might come up in town, and maybe a church should go out and say they shouldn't be there. But, you know, I think there should be a definition of what the church is before we stop this talking about this. I mean, the work of the church is to proclaim the gospel and to move in the Spirit among our town, you know, pray for their deliverance and lead them to Jesus Christ, because these are all symptoms of a society that does not want to retain God in their knowledge, and these are just symptoms. You need to get them back to Jesus Christ.
Linda, would you agree that the work of the church is to proclaim the law and the gospel?
Well, when it comes to, well, say, like I've stood on Karch Boulevard with a sign in my hand against abortion, but my sign said, you know, the one next to me said, abortion kills. My sign said, Jesus saves and forgives. And I think...
Well, that would be the law.
That's law and gospel.
That's law and
gospel.
Good job,
Linda.
In those right there, right signs. There on Karch. But, you know, their only hope, it's not me driving them out. The law can't change them. The law can't help them. My driving them out of town is not going to help these people. Am I not killing an enemy by making him, you know, getting him to Christ?
You raise a real good question. We got about 4 minutes left. Let's let Pastor Willis react to that.
Linda, I think you make a very good point, because a lot of times what churches will do is they'll become lobbyists, and kind of their, and I even hate to even call it a ministry, but their focus, their point, and their job becomes lobbying everything that they're against. The pornography stores, the liquor stores, whatever it may be, there are the abortion clinics. They're always, or what, the radical group now that's going to the military funerals.
With all due respect,
with the signs that say,
I find it hard to include that group within the pale of.
Well, I'm not saying they are within the pale of the church, but I don't even know if a church that becomes a lobbyist remains the church. If your only thing you really focus on is telling the world what's wrong with them, to the extreme of holding up the signs of, you know,
well, a law-only church or a gospel-only church,
sure,
is in trouble.
Is not the church, because the church is located where the word is proclaimed and the sacraments are administered. And when we say the word is proclaimed, it's the full counsel of God. So Linda, standing next to her partner on the street, they presented the full counsel of God. Abortion kills. That's the law. The gospel of Jesus saves. Now, just one thing quick that I wanted to address about this before we end, Chuck. I've been in prison ministry for 13 years, and I spent a year in an institution that had predominantly of the 2,000 inmates, 1,500 were sex offenders. Had the hugest or the largest sex offender treatment program in the state. It was a 4-year program, and I worked in that program to different extents, pastoral care, participating in some of the therapy groups and stuff like that. And these guys would have to do lifelines, and it would be just page upon page upon page of everything they remembered from their life. And the consistent thing between, and it was an all men's institution, but just so you know, I believe it's 95 to 97% of all sex offenders in the prison system throughout the United States are men. Now, that doesn't mean that women get away with it. It means that 95% of all sex offender perpetrators are men. And the consistent thing throughout, even more than them being sexually abused as a child, was pornography. Every single one, whether it was a voyeur, an exhibitionist, rapist, pedophile, whatever, every single one of them viewed pornography.
Got about a minute left here. So and what did you learn?
I learned that this is why God tells us to flee sexual immorality. Because it causes rape of children, of women, of men. It causes such depravity in God's creation. It causes such harm and destruction that it falls out of line with what God created us for, to be pure and holy, to live at peace in His presence, to be comfortable. And the grace in all of this is, even if you've stepped across that line, and pornography is a part of your life, and it has demonstrated itself now in your activity with children or somebody else living together outside of marriage. God's grace, the law is, you can't continue this way. This can't continue. But God reaches out to you to say, I want to forgive you, and by the Holy Spirit, and by my word, and through my sacraments, I want to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Forgive your sins and wash you clean with the blood of the Lamb. But you can't continue to live this way. When that starts happening, we will struggle with that continually. But the good Lord continues to give us hope and forgiveness.
Pastor Willis, thank you so much for struggling with this issue with us here on our Bible study. Appreciate it. And God's blessings to you and the newest one in your family especially.
That's right. Thanks.
Tomorrow we'll be in Genesis 37, Pastor Michael Walther, and our Ask the Pastor guest will be Pastor Tom Baker.
For a free copy of the Bible study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.